Joanna, thanks so much for joining us on Blueprint for Living.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
So before we get into what you discovered in that time reviewing hotels, let me ask you this. Before that time, were you a fan of hotels? Do you like staying in them?
I think I felt about them more or less as anyone else did. I certainly couldn't afford to stay in the sort of hotels that I stayed in as a reviewer, but I was curious about them. I was curious about the luxury and the strangeness.
The book has extraordinary insights into what that experience is like, but the thing that fascinates me is that kind of divide between the communal aspect of hotels and the alienating aspect of it. For you, in the first instance, this was an experience you were taking on at a particularly difficult time in your life. Was it about the escape part? Was it about alienation?
That was something I didn't know at the time, and I only knew afterwards. At the time, I was living in a marriage, as I said, that I was soon to leave. And I became a hotel reviewer not because I knew that I wanted to look somewhere else. I'm very interested in hotels as utopian exercises, exercises which try to answer our desires, and in homes and marriages for the same reasons.
That idea of the utopian exercise is a really interesting one. By definition, a hotel proprietor is trying to create a kind of ideal space. Does that mean that there are certain kind of generic ideas that recur regardless of whether they're comfortable?
Well, hotels are restless places. They're always making themselves over, always trying to find something that will provide the answer to our desires. I think that there are some of them rely on repetition. Big chain hotels, often they try to make every room the same, so whichever city you're staying in, you'll have a similar luxurious experience. But I'm also interested in boutique hotels, this fairly recent concept, which try to make everything different and local. And they try to bypass previous ideas about hotels in many ways.
Like the anti-hotel hotel, if it feels like a hotel, they've somehow not succeeded.
Yes. Yes, well, hotels are often trying to pride themselves on being home-like and others not at all.
That's such an interesting idea, because do we want a home when we're away from home in a hotel?
Well, I think things that we don't want about home are the upkeep and maintenance, though also the emotional maintenance. So whatever a boutique hotel is trying to provide, I think that's not something it's trying to provide.
So tell us a little bit about the job. Where did it take you? Were they mainly domestic hotels that you were reviewing, or did it take you wider afield?
I can speak French, so a lot of the hotels I reviewed were in France, particularly Paris, but I'm not going to identify any of them. That would be unfair. I think people who stayed in some of these places will recognise them, especially the black toilet paper.
Yes, do expand on the black toilet paper, because that is somewhat horrific.
Well, that was an extremely expensive design hotel, and it had plastic crocodiles, life-size plastic crocodiles in the hallway. The corridors, when you got out of the lift, were pitch black. They didn't have lights. They had little landing strips on either side of the carpet, but I think I did actually once walk into the wall.
That's less than ideal, but at least it was memorable.
It was certainly memorable, but I'm not quite sure what sort of answer to our desires that hotel in particular was trying to provide.
There's a great passage in your book where you write, there was a time just after we got married when it was fashionable to have your home look like a hotel.
Oh, yes.
We saw it in magazines. It was white mainly and clean and square. How does that kind of, how does that gel? The idea that there's a kind of perfect utopian version of a hotel.
Well, it's interesting to think about that combination of homes and hotels. The magazines that I'm talking about generally talked about, I can remember the kind of copy that accompanied these rather perfect room sets, which were usually empty. So they really didn't have any humans in them or any relationships in them. But I think there was a lot in the copy that accompanied those kind of pictures about self-care, about maintenance, about treating yourself or making yourself into a guest in your own home. That's kind of quite a difficult thing to do when you're also, you're the hotel manager and indeed the cook and the maid and all sorts of other things, the waiter.
Are hotels lonely places generally, do you think?
I think they are, though I don't think that's universally negative, as I said. I think that it's interesting that I wrote a lot about the movie, 1932 movie Grand Hotel, which is a wonderful movie, but it's a movie typical of movies about hotels, in which there are many chance encounters which develop into plots. People are killed, people fall in love, all sorts of things happen and their lives are changed. Whereas it does seem to me that if you spend some time really in a hotel, the last thing you're going to do is talk to a complete stranger at breakfast.
I have to say, one of the things I find when I'm staying in a hotel is I'm typically, there's something about the experience that makes me antisocial. Nothing fills me with more dread than going down to the breakfast buffet and seeing someone who wants to chat.
Yes, yes, yes. I think, you know, we need these spaces for solitary being. And so hotels do achieve something, though I'm not sure that they know that that's what they're achieving.
You write that in your book about the lobby as a space that's particularly fraught in a hotel.
Like, oh, yes, definitely.
I think you say there's nowhere more lonely because you're kind of one of many and it's a strange space. Can you expand on that for us?
Well, lobbies are designed to follow, I guess, a lot has to go on there. They're designed to follow lounges or sitting rooms often. But they're not very relaxing places. People are always coming and going, checking in, checking out. They often have things like bookshelves or comfortable chairs, but very few people seem to sit in them with any kind of comfort. They're always waiting to leave or waiting for someone. And certainly that they're designed after these rather social spaces that we have in homes, like living rooms where we're meant to talk to each other. And again, you know, because of the kind of hotel alienation we were talking about, that rarely occurs. So they're very bizarre spaces.
One of the lines that recurs in your book is the idea that there's something kind of ghost-like about hotels. Can you expand on that? What do you mean by that?
Well, I was very interested in the way that people in hotels behave, both guests. So I just did it myself, a Freudian slip. Both guests and the people who work in hotels are designed to interact without having any kind of emotional reliance on each other, which is something to do with the emotional relief of staying in a hotel. I did stay in a hotel once where the manager did just exactly what I did and said ghosts instead of guests when she was showing me around the place. And that just made me think, what are we doing here? These repetitious actions. And I was interested in the way that hotels address our desires, but don't necessarily enable us to move on through them.
I'm not convinced that hotel you were staying in wasn't the opening scene of The Shining. You should be careful when that kind of thing happens.
It was a very nice hotel, actually. I liked it a lot, but I think its ghosts were of a different order.
Well, I mean, the other thing about hotels is they used to be places where people lived. Like, that's very much a class thing, but one of my enduring memories of Fawlty Towers is the Major Gowan character who clearly just lives there and likes to haunt the halls and wait for his newspaper to come in.
Yes.
Is that a thing from a bygone era, you think?
Well, I think so. I don't think people can afford to live in hotels now. I'm interested in, I was thinking of similarly of books like Ian Forster's Room with a View and particularly Jean Rhys's work where her heroines often live in hotel, rather rundown hotels in Paris, which are essentially boarding houses. Catherine Mansfield's In a German Pension is a book that I devoted a chapter to in hotel. And people live long term there when they're attending the spa nearby. And that draws very, very closely on Catherine Mansfield's life. I think she was 19 when she wrote those stories, and she had been packed off to a spa hotel because she was inadvertently pregnant.
Hotel's the place you want to be when you're inadvertently pregnant. So you were drawn to this job of reviewing hotels. You clearly have a particular affection for them. Let's go positive. What makes a really great hotel?
I think very small touches, because in hotels you're always aware that you're paying for things. It's kind of anti-home. In a home, you know that there are certain exchanges going on in relationships. There are things that are expected of you, and that there are things that you expect of other people. In a hotel, it's laid out. You know what the price is, and you know what's included. But I can remember one hotel I got to as a reviewer, and I was very tired. I'd been traveling all day. I think I'd been on an aeroplane. And I arrived, and they just brought up sort of a tray of tea and cakes to my room. In fact, it was in a very beautiful little Chinese basket, which was padded and to keep the tea warm. So it was a Chinese tea and little delicacies. And because that was a kind of gesture of that was entirely given, that was a kind of one rather wonderful thing in that in that space in which we know the price of everything and the value of nothing, perhaps, to quote. Isn't that wild again?
It is. Look, a tea basket and cake is the only way to someone's heart, I think. That's not wild, but it should have been. Joanna Walsh, it's been so lovely to talk to you today.
Thank you very much.
Joanna Walsh is the author of Hotel. It's out in Australia from Bloomsbury. I'm Michael Williams. You're listening to Blueprint for Living here on RN.